Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Hello, Cleaning Nation. So good to be with you again. Remember, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, if you've got questions for me or you want to hire me to speak at your next event, that all falls within the purview of our lovely producer, Natalie. You can get a hold of her at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com, or you can give us a call at 480-648-5149. Do it right now. We love hearing from you, Cleaning Nation. Today, I am talking with John Hancher from JMS Cleaning. JMS Cleaning Services has been providing the Sarasota, Florida area with eco-friendly commercial cleaning since 2011. If you want to reach out to John and his team, you get a hold of them at www.jmscleaningsarasota.com. John, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hello, everybody.
So glad to have you on, my friend. Dying to get to know a little bit about you. Sarasota's an awesome place. We've got a lot of cleaners out in Florida. Is that where you're born and raised, or how'd you end up there?
No, actually, I was born in Chicago, and I moved to California when I was 9. Lived out there till I was about 19. And then we moved back to Illinois for a little bit, did one winter, and Ooh. Said, forget this, and moved straight to Florida.
Yeah. I like that. A guy that knows what he wants is like, you know what? I don't need this in my life. And they have planes, so I'm out.
Yeah, definitely.
Perfect. So are you married, kids? What's the home life of the Hanchers look like?
Sure, yes. I'm married to my beautiful wife, Christina, for 5 years now. We had a baby last year. She's 11 months old.
Congrats.
Her name is Kenzie. Thank you. Yep, so I'm a proud papa. I'm definitely one of those guys that shows everybody the pictures and all that good stuff.
Awesome. Yeah. My little guy just turned a year. So, and my wife
awesome.
Is that wonderful/terrible human being that insists everybody sees how cute our baby is.
Yes. Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Likewise. So how'd you get into the business, my friend?
Basically, my short story, I was working at a fast food restaurant, grinding it out, and I knew that I didn't want to work for somebody else for the rest of my life. I always wanted to have my own business. I had no money at all. Maybe I was making like $300 a month.
Wow.
And I started researching how I could start a business, easy entry, cleaning came across my path. And I just said, I'm just going to do it. I started with my mom, and we started knocking on doors, grinded it out, got a few residential jobs at first, and then we started getting a few commercials, and then I found out about the internet and how cool that is, and took me about 6 months to learn SEO, websites, all that stuff, and I went to page one, then my business grew from like a couple thousand to 100,000 in a year, which was awesome, and then we just been going from there.
Man, congratulations. You are literally living the American dream. That is awesome to hear.
Awesome. Thank you. Yep, trying.
All right. Well, from everything you've told me, you are absolutely the kind of person that I get up every morning and do this show for. So I would love the opportunity to serve you. What one thing's going on in your business right now today that I can help you with?
Sure. So I'm at the point now where I'm just about out of doing the actual cleaning altogether. We have, when we were fully staffed, we have about 11 people working for us. And I'm wondering now, the supervision system, who needs to be where and how it goes and, what's the tiers and how it should look exactly to get to our goal is to have $1 million turnkey business. So that's kind of where I'm at now.
All right. Perfect. I love that question because that's it's so funny how similar, especially in the cleaning business, the path is kind of the zero to, I'd say, 50,000. It's all about just how do I get how do I make a bid and how do I incorporate and how do I get customers and that 50 to 100? It's like, okay, I've got an employee or two. How do I kind of turn this over to duplicate it? And then that 100 to quarter million, that's more about, okay, getting basic systems and kind of figuring out, is it on? And then from 250, like 750, it's all about systems. And it's just awesome that there's kind of similar mileposts and stages that everybody's in. And it sounds like from where you're at with your business stage, you're asking the exact right question, and I am honored to help. So ideally, with most questions that I'm asked, there would just be the right answer. Like, well, for every $100,000, you need one supervisor. That supervisor should make $32,500, and here's the job description. I'll email it over. Sadly, that's not the case. Just due to, as similar as things are, like I just laid out, there are certainly differences, first of all, in types of business, right? What a residential company might need for, in terms of supervising structure is going to be very different than commercial. And more importantly, goals for the business. As we get larger, your million-dollar business might look very, very different than my million-dollar business, than some of the listeners' million-dollar business. So what I'm going to try and do is help, not what I'm going to try and do, what we're going to do right now on this podcast is to help you think through the process of knowing what your supervisor structure should look like. Because I couldn't, it would just be, you know, bold of me and arrogant of me to say this is the right answer for everybody. And B, I want to make sure Cleaning Nation that has the same question is able to go, okay, just because, you know, John's thing was one way, I can still do it another. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Cool. So first, we got to talk about what you're trying to do ultimately and why, and then we're going to reverse engineer your company there. Because the last thing I would like you to do, and I get people that have done this, is they get to, quote unquote, where they thought they wanted to be in terms of revenue generally. Oh, I've got a $1 million business. And the underlying hopes and dreams are, well, once I get a $1 million business, then my life will be great. And they find out they're not making any profit, or they're working too hard, or they hate their business or their wife or their life or themselves, or it's just a mess. And untangling that is not fun. And I do it. That's
definitely.
But it's a lot more fun to get you now, right, as opposed to 3 years from now when you're there and going, I thought this would be that magical thing, and it's not. So that said, tell me a little bit about the one goal I heard you say is you'd like to be a seven-figure business, a $1 million business or more. Tell me what that looks like. When you wake up to that seven-figure business, what does it look like? What does it feel like? What does an average day look like for you?
Sure. The first thing is I want it to be completely automated. I don't want to be doing anything at the end of the day except maybe going in for an hour or two every day and just looking at reports and just being able to judge the health of my business through the systems that I've put in place. That's the goal. I really, my passion is to be free of working super hard all the time and spending time with my family. Cause, as you know, we only get one shot to spend with our kids when they grow up. So I want to get as much time as I can as possible, doing that.
Preach it, my friend. So, and that is such a worthy goal. Honored to be able to help you in that endeavor. I love that you're clear on why you're doing this. That's huge. If we don't have that, it's really hard for me to help you create a bow to hit a target that doesn't exist. So that's awesome. Let's talk about money. Say you're doing $1 million. What kind of income do you need that business to generate for you?
I live very below my means right now. But I think 20% to 15% of that $1 million revenue would be very sufficient for me.
Okay, so $150,000 to $200,000 for you as the owner.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And that we just do that for, there's a reality check, right? Because all the things that we do cost money. So a lot of people are like, hey, I love working. I want to be a part of it. I want to be in there. Well, they can maybe do some of the jobs and have a little higher, I don't want to say margin, but they can take more out of the company. Whereas if you're going, hey, I really would like to be self-sustained, and you know, to be self-sustained, you're the final hire to get you out of there is kind of that, not kind of that, is that general manager position, which costs money. So,
right.
And you know, that's obviously the highest paid person on staff. So, all right, good. I just want to do reality check. All that stuff sounds possible and feasible. So there's nothing that's on the wrong track. So here's the first thing I want to say, kind of conceptually, then we'll move into tactical. Conceptually, you've got to make sure as you move forward, you don't get swept away. And gosh, I hate to say this, but I would venture to say every business person that's been doing this more than a couple years has gotten swept up in this to a degree now and again. It's just how quickly we recover. And the what that is, that cancer, that sickness, that mindset is, I just got to get bigger, right? If when you were at 100,000, you probably, or when you were at 10,000, you probably wanted to go 100,000. When you're at 100,000, you probably want to do a couple 100,000, which is where I'm guessing you're at now. Now that you're a couple 100,000, you want to do 1,000,000. But then when you get to 1,000,000, you want to do 2. When you do 2, you want to get 5. So on and so forth. And growth is certainly not a problem. That's actually a healthy thing. The problem comes in when there's just that, when you have a real discussion with someone like we're having today, and we say, well, why? And you go, I don't know. I as a business owner, I thought I had to sign some sort of deal with the devil where I constantly got bigger, which is not the case. So I just want to encourage you, first and foremost, let's be clear, and it sounds like you are, why you want to get where you where you're going, and is that finally done? So the first thing, so we're not constantly going, is, and you have the right to change it, but right now it sounds like once you get to 1,000,000, making 100,000, 200,000 a year, and things being systematized, are you going to at that point want to take it to the next level, or is that where you kind of want to hold pat?
I think as I'm at right now, that's kind of where I want to hold pat. I just want to get to that level and maintain that. Maybe go up 100,000 here and there to, you know, keep growing, strengthen, but be in that $1,000,000 range point, because maybe at that point I'll say, well, let's do this for a couple of years and then maybe sell it is my idea.
Which is perfect, because it's good. If you really want to get top dollar for your company, you're going to want to prepare it for sale. And a lot of preparing it for sale is making sure you have clean numbers, good numbers, and doing what you're talking about with the automation, right? Both the businesses I sold ran holistically, generally without me. And that allows you to get top dollar, because then you're not selling a job, you're selling a legitimate business opportunity. Okay, so that was the philosophical part. Everything I'm going to talk about, make sure, and that you're going to think about and do over the next couple of years, make sure you're doing it in light of your ultimate goal, and don't get to, I just want to hire, because I want more people, and I want to be better and bigger, because what happens is all of a sudden you have all these people hanging around, and you are doing $1,000,000, and you're making no money a year, or you're barely squeaking out the same money that you're making now, but you're working seven times as hard because you've got all this revenue and all these employees, and you haven't really thought through. So that can really creep up on you. And I know I'm kind of beating this drum, but like I said, it's just because I coach so many people on the back end where they're already at the $1,000,000. They've got people everywhere, and trying to unring that bell is a lot trickier than just building a foundation steadily. So first and foremost, make sure nobody gets hired just because, quote unquote, we need someone, right? I'm just too busy. I need, quote unquote, help. You know, let's get some more bodies around. It increases the chaos that you've got. So you're absolutely right in that the focus should be on systems first, people second. Once you've got good systems, the people just run the systems. As long as you're hiring with that philosophy in mind, you can have healthy growth. But if you're with that, there's just too much to do and there's not enough people to do it and I need some dang help, let's get somebody in here. And then you hire them and just say, get to work. You know, there's fires all over. Start, you know, here's a bucket. Whew, that leads to trouble. Any questions?
Yeah, that's
so far?
How I feel now. Yeah.
Okay, well, then we're talking at the exact right time, my friend. All right, let's get a little more tactical. And that philosophical is so important. Without that foundation, all this stuff I can tell you in the tactical is not going to help you. So first and foremost, there needs to be an organizational chart and job descriptions. That's the key to the whole operation. If you've got that and you abide by that and those are clean, everything else is going to work. So what that job description, or what? Let's start with the org chart. There's going to be generally somebody at the top, the general manager, and we're not using your name right now. We're just having titles. So it'll be the general manager, and every business, including the cleaning business, has three main parts. There is client attraction, or getting customers, right? And that would be in a big company, the CMO, the chief marketing officer. There'd be the COO, the chief operations officer, and that person is in charge of making sure that the product or service sold by the sales and marketing team is delivered by your company. And the third piece would be the CFO, the chief financial officer, basically keeping track of everything. So you can call them what you want. Those are kind of quote unquote big company terms, but everyone's familiar with them. So the guy or gal that runs the money, the guy or gal that attracts the customers, and the guy or gal that makes sure everything gets done. So already we've got four boxes on your org chart. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And right now, if we're all being honest with each other, John Hancher might be the name in every one of those boxes, right? Maybe you've got a...
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Definitely.
So, okay, and that's fine. That's okay. But that doesn't mean there's just one box, right? There's still four boxes, even if you're doing all of them. And then below each box, you're going to line out what you want your reality to look like. So I can help you with the thought process of what you want that to look like, but I certainly couldn't give you, here is the quote-unquote million-dollar commercial cleaning company org chart. It's the right org chart. Begin, right? I can give you some guidelines that help walk you through that, but you've got to decide what that looks like. So I'm going to give you just a couple examples in each box. So with the under the CFO, under the financial, you might have a bookkeeper. As you get larger, you might have a payables and a receivables person. You might have an accountant that handles your tax burden. You might handle some of this cash flow. And again, even in a commercial cleaning business, that spot might just be two boxes, right? It might be a CPA that you pay. That's a vendor, right? You don't hire a CPA full time. You just, you pay them X thousands of dollars a year to handle your tax situation. You might have, kind of a head bookkeeper that really helps you prepare reports and understand them and look at that. And then maybe once you get over a million, you might have a receivables clerk or a payables clerk or, someone part time. So that whole piece of the org chart can be really quite simple, right?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it sounds real good. I like where this is going.
Okay, cool. And we're running short, so I'm going to give you a couple quick more examples, and then we'll get going. I'll just give you, let's pick the sales and marketing. Let's pick the operations, because when you're talking about managers, that's a big one. So you might have, depending on the size and scope of your customer, if you do residential and commercial, which I don't recommend, you might have, residential ops operations manager and a commercial operations manager. If you're only commercial, but you've got day porters or night cleaners, you might have a day shift manager and a night shift manager. And you're just going to break it down in terms of how many people do I, and obviously at the bottom, you're going to have the cleaners, right? That's the obvious thing. And, even at $1 million, you're going to need one layer, two at the absolute most of people between you and the cleaners, right? Once you get multi-millions, you might add a third layer. But even at $1 million, it's just one level of supervisor generally between you and the cleaners. Maybe one more if you've got one operations manager that's kind of a general manager as well. So are you starting to see a framework that you could kind of plug these things in?
Yes, definitely. That last part helped me because that's what I was really wondering was how many supervisors go between the cleaner and the top person. And I've been trying to decide what the right thing is right now. My idea is have like a cleaner that's like a team supervisor that's in charge of five accounts. And then they go out and every other week they go check those accounts, the other five accounts. And if somebody calls out, they cover for that shift. And if somebody quits, they train for that account. And they have those five accounts are just like they're in charge of those five, and then they report to, I don't know yet, somebody else.
Perfect. So that's a good starting point. And that brings me to my last point that's going to kind of cover all this. You're like, okay, because right now, hopefully, you feel like you're 80% there, but I want to get you 100% there. So the last piece of this pie, and this is as important as the framework. So again, first we did the foundation. Make sure before you build an org chart that you understand this org chart is here to serve me and my goals. I am not here to serve it. I don't put John's name in every box that is needed. I start getting John out of the boxes he don't want to be in, including the general manager would be your final hire if that's the goal that you have. But you want to have the end picture in mind before you even start. So that's the foundation that's got to be laid. Then you kind of start putting the boxes in with what each person does. And the last piece is a job description for each thing. And this is, gosh, I learned this by paying the dues of doing it the wrong way. You've got to have a very clear job description. That's why this organizational chart helps or is so imperative, because what happens is you hire somebody and you're like, you laid out a pretty rudimentary job description just in the 2 minutes that we're talking. You said you want them to have five accounts. You want them to check those accounts for quality. You want, if someone quits or doesn't show up, they become a cleaner for that account, and then they have to replace that person, and then they report to somebody else. Is that kind of a general job description?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So here's what happens. Most people don't do job descriptions, and it gets very frustrating for everybody involved, because you hire someone and you'll say something like, just what we said, which is a pretty dang good job description, right? But it's not written down. You just explain it to them. And what happens is, as you get them, you're like, well, shoot, five accounts really isn't enough. That's, they could do eight. And then it's like, well, shoot, do I have them actually hire people? Well, who gets the people for them, right? Do they have to go find the people as well? Yeah, you know, I'm not doing that. Yeah, they should probably do that as well. So then you say, well, I need you to, you know, put ads in Indeed, and then I need you to run interviews, and I need, and all of a sudden, because you've got someone to help you there finally, and you feel like you're drowning, their job description just swells and explodes, and all of a sudden they're doing 9 different jobs. It's not written down. What they signed up for is very different than what they're doing now. You're frustrated because you don't feel like they're doing enough. They're frustrated because they're like, there's no possible way I can do all of this. And it's really setting up for failure. So what you want to do is have a written job description of exactly what they're going to do. And the way you do it, we can't get too deep because we're already out of time. You can't get too deep, but you want to write down all the tasks that need to get done. Everything. So for a week, just write down everything you do or anybody does. And then you start breaking those tasks into job descriptions. So you don't keep thinking of, like I kind of did with you, like, oh, if somebody doesn't show up, you need to replace them. Well, what does that mean? Where do they have to do the interviews? Do they get to do the final hire? Do they do the onboarding process? Who sets up the training program? Where do they get the applicants? What questions do they ask? How do they decide if they should hire them or not? Is there a background check? What about the hiring paperwork? Do they do that as well? So you want all that stuff written down at the beginning. So you're divvying it up between all the boxes as opposed to writing general stuff in the boxes. Then every time somebody comes up, something comes up like, oh, crap, I forgot. We do have to write ads, or we do have to, go to job fairs or whatever, you know, whatever things you have. You start trying to add that to job descriptions and get pissed off employees, more pissed off because you keep adding to their work without changing their pay. You've got this whole bucket of, okay, here's all the things that have to be done. And now I'm going to start divvying it up into the job descriptions. So you kind of get one shot, right? If you and I have a deal and I say, hey, John, you're going to do A, B, and C, that usually works well. But 3 months later, if I'm like, hey, add D, but the pay stays the same, and a month later, add E, and it goes on, we're going to have a strained relationship pretty quick. So the key is, before you do the job descriptions, make sure you kind of have an overview of all the things that need to get done. So every single task that happens or needs to happen within your business is covered by somebody's job description. So when they come on, they know what they're going to do, and it's not just you telling them and it warping. Does that make sense?
Makes total sense.
All right, you got me so fired up because it's such a good topic. I've gone way over. Now we're going to do the quickest lightning round that has ever been lightning round. 3 quick questions. You're going to give 3 amazing answers in super quick time. Question number 1, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Be a consistent learner.
Love it. Absolutely. And love that you're living that by being on the show today. Question 2, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business maybe we can learn from?
Hiring a friend to do the job, it was very hard to correct them because they're your buddy.
Could be the best day of your life and the worst day of your life, depending on the day. Question 3, what's one idea Cleaning Nation can put into practice right away, immediately, before their head hits the pillow, that will improve their business and or their life?
Again, go back to be a continual learner. Try to learn something new about your industry every single day.
And Cleaning Nation, you are implementing that just by listening to this podcast, especially since this is the end. That means you got through the whole thing and you are so much better equipped than you were before we started on how to build a million-dollar business. John, I really appreciate you for joining us. Thank you for such an insightful question. I appreciate you. I know that Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out John's show notes page and get everything you need to grow the cleaning company you've always deserved, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. You can leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.